Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. On March 13, 2015, the second anniversary of his election as Pope, our Holy Father Pope Francis announced an extraordinary holy year. It is the first holy year to celebrate not an anniversary of some kind, but the attribute of God the Father, which is most exalted in both the Old and New Testaments, his mercy. Mercy occupies a central place in the pontificate of Pope Francis and has come to be a hallmark of his personal witness and of his frequent invitations to the universal church. Joining us today to talk about the Year of Mercy in the Archdiocese of Baltimore is the Executive Director of the Department of Evangelization, Dr. John Romanowski. John, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
So for those who may have heard about the Year of Mercy at their parish, or even for those who are hearing about it for the first time today, can you share a bit about what it is and why the Pope chose mercy as the subject of such an extraordinary observance, and perhaps what it should mean for the average Catholic?
Sure. Maybe a little bit of background first of why, where Jubilee comes from. And it has very ancient roots, actually, back to the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 25, the God of Israel calls for a Jubilee year. Back then, he said, you know, after 7 years times seven, on the 50th year, declared a Jubilee. And it was a year where debts were forgiven, prisoners and slaves were freed. It was a very happy year. And if you were lucky, it came once in a lifetime back then. In the Catholic Church, we don't know exactly when the tradition started. The first record we have is in the 14th century, probably. And ever since then, about every 25 years, we have a Jubilee declared in the Church. So last century, for example, we had it in 1925, 1950, 1975, and the year 2000. But then also you have other significant anniversaries that are commemorated. Of course, Jesus was crucified and rose again when he was 33. So in 1933, we had a Jubilee commemorating his death and resurrection. Then Pope John Paul II, in 1983, 50 years later, the anniversary declared a Jubilee for the redemption, the anniversary of the redemption. So this time, as you mentioned, Pope Francis has declared an extraordinary Jubilee. Surprise, surprise, Pope Francis does something that's never been done in the history of the Church. And this is not an anniversary.
Right.
As to why now, he just said now is the time for mercy. He just declared it's time. This is something that I believe he feels the Church needs more than anything, and the world needs more than anything, is the Father's mercy, to experience God's mercy mm-hmm. in a concrete way. And he was very clear about his purpose in making mercy the theme. And the theme actually comes from the Gospel of Luke, be merciful as your Father is merciful. And he's hoping that Catholic believers and everybody during the course of the Jubilee can actually have some kind of experience of God's mercy, and that will lead to a renewal of their faith. And in turn, they'll want to offer that mercy to other people and witness to the gospel in maybe more powerful, more effective ways. So for Pope Francis, it always is coming back to evangelization, to the mm-hmm. to the mission of the Church.
And no surprise that mercy was the theme. I mean, any casual observer of this Pope probably conjures up images of, you know, him reaching out to disabled and disfigured and to, you know, secreting himself in the night in the streets of Rome to hand out, you know, food or money to the poor. And
absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, what might this mean, you know, for the average Catholic in the parish. And I think the Pope is really hoping that we rediscover what it means to be an average Catholic. I think he puts himself forward as an average Catholic, you know, that our whole identity of being Catholic, it shouldn't be something habitual. It shouldn't be something half-hearted. It should be completely at one with receiving mercy and giving mercy to others, mm-hmm. you know. So I think it reminds me of Mother Teresa was once asked, you know, people say you're a living saint. What do you think about that? And she very matter-of-factly said, well, we're all called to be saints. This is just being an average Christian. When you're baptized, we're all called to holiness. So you're called to holiness just like I am. So she was presenting herself as an average Catholic as well. So I think it's a challenge to us is what's our standard for being Catholic? What does it mean to be Catholic? So I really think that Pope Francis is calling us back to the essence of mercy. The mercy is at the heart of our belief.
And the Pope would probably remind us that we don't have to be saintly figures to practice mercy and to be good Catholics.
Absolutely.
And the Church gives us a roadmap, right, in the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. You want to get into that a little bit. And so
sure.
When the Pope talks about wanting us to experience mercy in a very personal way, here's, you know, we have some ways to do that.
Absolutely. It's really, there's nothing simpler. Sometimes it's difficult, but it's always simple. And the opportunities come pretty much every day for all of us to be merciful to someone in our life, in our own families, neighborhoods, workplace, you know, on the street, someone comes asking for mercy, even a smile, you know. But as you mentioned, there are, the tradition of the Church, there are the works of mercy. So the seven corporal works of mercy and the seven spiritual works of mercy. And I think that these works of mercy are really being carried out by people, you know, throughout the Church and beyond every day in hidden ways. We don't see the vast, vast, vast majority of it, you know. But as a community, we're also carrying out these works of mercy every single day, 24/7, really. I mean, if you just look at what Catholic Charities does, what Catholic Cemeteries does, what our prison ministry does, what
hospitals,
our chaplaincy program does, you know, we're feeding the hungry, you know, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the imprisoned, visiting those who are sick.
Educating the ignorant.
Yes. And then the spiritual spiritual works as well. You look at the parishes and our religious organizations, our religious orders, lay associations. You see all of that happening, you know, instructing the ignorant and counseling the doubtful and forgiving offenses and comforting the afflicted. It's all going on as a community. But I think what the Pope is reminding us is not to assume, for an average individual Catholic, not to assume someone else is doing it, or not to assume an organization is being merciful, so we don't have to be.
Right.
You know, the Church isn't the government. We're a family of believers. We're a community of believers.
Right.
And
I give to my parish, therefore let the parish take care of the mercy, the works of mercy, and, you know, or the consecrated religious are doing that, or the hospitals are doing that. I don't need to do that.
Exactly. And yeah. I think that he's reminding us that, you know, in the Catholic Church, in the Christian faith, mercy is the most personal, kind of intimate aspect of our relationship with God and with each other too. You know, so we're really showing the face of Christ to others, but that has to be done in person. That has to be done face to face. An institution really can't do that.
So one of the unique aspects of the Year of Mercy is the designation of holy doors or doors of mercy in every diocese around the world, and it's such a beautiful image because it is the portal through which people enter the Church in a very physical, literal way, but it's also a great image of what the Year of Mercy is meant to be. What is the significance of the image of these doors and where were these designated here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore?
Sure. So the significance, it's always been associated with a Jubilee, is to have a Jubilee door in a cathedral, especially in Rome, but beyond Rome. Where pilgrims would arrive and they would cross the threshold of the door. And we don't know exactly where it originated. It could have been associated with Adam and Eve being banished from paradise and then being welcomed back into paradise because of Jesus' redemption. It could also be associated with this historical evidence of maybe it was like the sanctuary, you know, that the church was considered a sanctuary for prisoners. And if you're in the church, you're safe from everybody, including the state. And that got sort of baptized and transformed into a tradition in the church. So we don't know exactly the origins, but what it's evolved into over the centuries is exactly what you said. It's really a symbol of entering into God's presence to receive his mercy, to receive graces, to receive the plenary indulgence, which we can talk about in a second, associated with the Jubilee. So here in the Archdiocese, we have designated eight different locations that have a door. for the Jubilee. And this really covers the whole Archdiocese geographically, mm-hmm. so it's as accessible as possible, you know, for everyone to go on that local pilgrimage. Now, the doors were opened when the Jubilee began, which is on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, mm-hmm. Last year, and they will close on November 20th in the fall, which is the Feast of Christ the King. Mm-hmm. So that's the actual year, ecclesial year for mercy. And the locations that we've chosen here is the Basilica of the Assumption here in the city, the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen. Then we have three shrines, the Shrine of St. Anthony in Ellicott City, the Shrine of Elizabeth Ann Seton in Emmitsburg, and the Shrine of St. Peter and Paul at Weston in Cumberland. We also have St. Ignatius in Hickory, St. John the Evangelist in Frederick, and St. Mary's in Annapolis. So those are our eight locations.
Cathedral churches, shrines, and then significant historic churches that are kind of spread geographically in the diocese.
Exactly.
Right. Now, you mentioned one of the benefits of making a local pilgrimage to one of these shrines is the ability to receive a plenary indulgence. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So plenary indulgence, in simple terms, it means receiving forgiveness from God for all of your sins. It's plenary. It's full. It's you got a clean slate if you receive your plenary indulgence. And so the Jubilee has always been not just a reminder to us of, in this case, God's mercy, but it's a special year of grace. This is part of the mystery of the Church itself, that she's a channel of God's grace, that she can open up the doors to God's grace in a special way during a Jubilee. And receiving a plenary indulgence, the Pope very beautifully and simply explains it this year, means that you go on pilgrimage to one of these sites and you cross the threshold of that door. But going on that pilgrimage and entering the door is simply a sign, and it's supposed to be a sign of a genuine desire for repentance and a genuine asking God for mercy and forgiveness. And so it needs to be associated with going to the sacrament of confession and going to Mass and praying for this. And also, in the tradition, we pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, of Pope Francis himself. Mm-hmm. And we know that we pray for his intentions, that his intentions are also really for mercy, for mercy for the Church, mercy for everyone in the world who most need it. So that's really what the criteria, so to speak, are, is to perform this sort of outward sign and partake of the sacraments, that we have a deep desire ourselves for mercy to receive it. And then again, getting back to his whole purpose of declaring this Jubilee, if we really have the experience it, we're going to want to offer that to others in concrete ways. We're going to want to share the freedom that we experience, you know, in having our sins forgiven and having those burdens lifted off of us with others.
And we'll continue our conversation with Dr. John Romanowski from the Archdiocese of Baltimore in just a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. What's the secret to a strong marriage? Nevin and Pearl Gintling of Edgemere are one couple who should know the answer to that question, as they have been married 73 years. Nevin, who is now 98 years old, first saw his wife Pearl, now 92, when she was walking along the streetcar tracks on her way to high school. He turned to his buddy and said, "I'm going to marry her." Parishioners of St. Luke in Edgemere, the couple recently received an apostolic blessing from Pope Francis. Their story, including their advice for cultivating a long and happy union, is on CatholicReview.org. Also on our website, many parents send their children to Catholic high schools because they want them to receive good preparation for college. What these parents may not know is that many of the Archdiocese of Baltimore's high schools are already involved with Catholic colleges. We spoke with three institutions, Mount St. Mary's, Loyola University Maryland, and Notre Dame of Maryland University, which partner with Catholic high schools in programs that benefit both parents and students. Let's not neglect the Holy Year of Mercy. Pope Francis has told his priests to do the same, and he went so far as to admit that they will likely work, quote, overtime that will not be paid, end quote. He also told priests to put themselves in the other's shoes, to be generous with kindness, and not to be stingy with forgiveness. Find this story at CatholicReview.org and be sure to check out all of our Year of Mercy coverage at CatholicReview.org/news/Holy Year of Mercy. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Eric Zygmunt.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
We're back with Dr. John Romanowski of the Archdiocese of Baltimore speaking to us about the Year of Mercy.
When the Pope announced the Year of Mercy, he also called for a worldwide observance of what the Vatican is calling 24 Hours for the Lord. That'll be observed here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and I'm sure in dioceses around the world. Can you talk about that, what it is, and how it'll be observed here in Baltimore?
Sure. Yes, he called for this right in the beginning. He asked every diocese in the entire world to organize this initiative locally. 24 Hours for the Lord is really meant to be 24 hours on the Friday into Saturday before the fourth Sunday of Lent. And it's meant to be 24 hours of Eucharistic adoration and 24 hours of offering the sacrament of reconciliation to anyone who wants to come and receive it. And, of course, it's a special time to receive mercy and to carry out your pilgrimage. But it's also a witness, I think, you know, to the world. And we wanted to make it as accessible as we could, again, and throughout the Archdiocese. So we, all of our locations, the 8 locations that have Jubilee Door of Mercy, you know, in the church, are going to be organizing it regionally. You know, of course, it's going to take quite a few priests to pull this off. So they're organizing as what's best for them locally, you know, according to their own situation. And they'll be having 24 hours of adoration starting at the Hour of Mercy, 3 p.m. on Friday and going to 3 p.m. on Saturday.
And this is March?
So this is March 4th through the 5th. That's right. That's before the fourth Sunday, March 4 and March 5. And some places will be having, they'll be advertising locally, but they'll have reconciliation throughout the entire time. Other places will offer a penance service on Friday evening and have reconciliation offered on Friday evening, and then again starting Saturday morning up until 3 o'clock on Saturday, you know, before the before the vigil mass. So we're very hopeful that this will be a great opportunity for all, you know, our Catholic believers in this Lent to really have that experience that the Pope is hoping we all have of the Father's mercy.
Mm-hmm. The Pope also encouraged Catholics around the world to make a pilgrimage to Rome during the Year of Mercy. Obviously, that's not going to be possible for everyone. So any recommendations?
Well, again, the vast majority of Catholics won't be able to get to Rome, and I think that's why he's asking us to designate Doors of Mercy locally. You know, it's the plenary indulgence is granted whether you go to Rome or whether you go to St. Ignatius in Hickory, you know, or just down the street at the Basilica or the Cathedral. So
it's more about the effort, the desire, the intention.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's where's your heart, the sacraments and making that outward sign.
Sure. You mentioned early on when talking about the designation of the Year of Mercy, that there's a connection with evangelization, and I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how you see the Year of Mercy being an opportunity to advance the mission of the new evangelization.
Yeah. This takes us right back to his original purpose, as you said. You know, in the joy of the gospel, he has his exhortation to the whole church. He's laid out a very passionate vision and a challenge to the whole church to really become what he calls missionary disciples. So disciples of Christ who share the gospel, who give witness to the gospel and share the gospel with others. And his intention, I think, with the Jubilee is for the church to really become, and for every Catholic to make this part of their own life, what he calls a field hospital. A field hospital, because one thing that, again, that the church and the world need more than anything, and we can all see this, is mercy. Is mercy, compassion. And the field hospital is not just a hospital. Field hospital is up on the front lines. The field hospital is in the thick of it. And it's dealing with the worst wounds, and it wants to heal the most serious things. You know, like you said, if you know, someone's bleeding out, you don't check their cholesterol level. Right. You know, we're supposed to be right there. And one of the signs that Jesus gave that God was near, God was with them, that the kingdom was near, was he healed, he forgave sins. And I think this is what the Pope is hoping for, is that we can reveal who God really is by being right in the thick of it and offering mercy and offering healing and offering reconciliation and offering peace. And so people will see, when they see and actually experience what God's really like, not some, you know, stern old man in the clouds laying down rules, you know, that there's so many misconceptions, but a merciful Father who's close to people and wants to heal and forgive and completely forget about all those sins that have been forgiven. There's nothing more attractive. I mean, why are people attracted to the Pope, right?
Right.
I think that, you know, he might even go so far as, like, with St. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, he's simply trying to live the gospel, and it's incredibly attractive because every human being wants that unconditional mercy. You know, a lot of us try and hide that need for it, you know, or mask it, but deep down we all really want that, those burdens lifted and to receive that mercy and to know that freedom. And so that's what could be more at the heart of evangelization than that. The church has always grown through attraction. You know, people just, they see from the very beginning, like, wow, look how those Christians love one another. You know, that's what the Romans would say when they saw these Christian communities 2,000 years ago. It's always attraction. And so mercy is attractive.
Do you think the year of mercy will present the church an opportunity to make more visible the merciful aspects of the church's ministries? You mentioned Catholic Charities, and we talked about, you know, hospitals and all these many other prison ministries and chaplains. And that has to go hand in hand, I would imagine, with the whole notion of evangelization, people being drawn, you know, to something that they see as positive and life-giving and generous.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we live in a media culture where the bad news
rains.
You know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, it's just and the more bad, the better. The more bad, the more dramatic and
sensational.
Horrible to say, but sensationalism. Yeah, it's more entertaining. You know, so good news is seen as kind of boring, we need to do a better job, I think, in the face of that. Of as you even see in the Gospels that. You know, Jesus says you shouldn't hide your light under a bushel basket. You know, you should put it high up so people can see it. And so people can see your good deeds. And it's not to pat ourselves on the back. It's so, as Jesus says, people can glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, it's a witness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a witness. We don't point to ourselves, you know. You're pointing to Jesus. We're pointing to the Father and saying, we're simply trying to show you.
We're radiating out what we've received.
What we've received ourselves. And trying to simply show you, you know, what God is really like. So I think we could do a better job. There certainly are opportunities now that we didn't have before with social media and, you know.
Tell our own story.
Tell our own story, absolutely.
What's the best way for people to learn more about the Year of Mercy, you know, at their parish and in the diocese and how they can get involved?
Sure. Well, two things they could do right away is to go to the Archdiocesan website, archbalt.org, and there's a lot of resources and information that they can find there.
Right.
But also there's the Vatican, official Vatican website. And it's a very simple address, www.im.va. That IM stands for Jubileum Misericordiae, you know, the Jubilee of Mercy. Yeah. A little Latin there, but thank God they shortened it to IM.
Yeah.
So im.va, and a lot of information there and resources and whatnot.
John Romanowski from the Archdiocese of Baltimore, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
This Lent, Catholics in the Archdiocese of Baltimore are invited to participate in a special worldwide initiative of Pope Francis called 24 Hours for the Lord. Parishes throughout the Archdiocese will be offering 24 consecutive hours of Eucharistic adoration, along with extended hours for the Sacrament of Reconciliation, as well as other opportunities for prayer, reflection, and fellowship. The Archdiocese of Baltimore has designated multiple locations to host this special program, designed by Pope Francis and the Vatican to help Catholics throughout the world observe this year of mercy. For a list of parishes participating in 24 Hours for the Lord and more information about the Year of Mercy, visit archbalt.org. That's archbalt.org.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.